Come on, somebody make some noise this morning. Are you ready for impact? Starting us off this morning, big Ron Waterman, 270 pounds of rock solid muscle. He's going to attempt to smash this wall of concrete. He doesn't stand a chance by himself. San Antonio, Texas, help him out. Come on, guys, help him out. Come on, Big Ron, you gotta hit it hard, hit it hard. Make some noise. Unbelievable, just like that, Big Ronnie Waterman. Give him a round of applause.
All right, up next, doing a reverse elbow strike, Chip Minton, all the way from Florida, two-time Olympian, is gonna try to drive his elbow through this massive wall of concrete. Let's make some noise. Let me hear you, Crosspoint. Let's help out Big Chip Minton as he pushes himself to the limit this morning. Come on, Chip, here we go. Hit it hard. And there you have it, all the way through, Mr. Chip Minton.
All right, in the back of the stage, you're gonna see Ron do what we call a double forearm, sacrifice his body, make some noise. Come on, guys, help him out. Just like that, Big Ron Waterman, give him a round of applause. All right, if this is your first Sunday, from now on, every Sunday is going to be just like this morning. We are Team Impact. Are you guys ready to have some fun this morning? This is kind of a little bit different than what we normally do, but we're going to, you guys are actually, it's going to be awesome. You get to see an actual Team Impact program that we usually do at nighttime on Sunday morning. We got some more stuff that we're going to do for you. You're going to see Big Ron. Ron is 270 pounds, lives in Windsor, Colorado. He's going to take this flame-tempered hardwood American baseball bat, place it on top of his leg, attempt to push down with upper body strength, and snap this baseball bat in half. Somebody say, do not. Try this at home or anyone else's house. Big Ron is a professional wooden bat breaker. Putting his body on the line, we've seen this go wrong in a lot of ways. And we've been doing this for a long time. I've been doing this since 2006, Ron, since 2002. Everywhere we go, people always say it's fake, it's phony. I don't believe it. So I need a volunteer. Somebody who benches over 500 pounds. 400 pounds. You want to? Come on, big man. Come on, give him a big round of applause. Can you just, come on, whoop. Oh, my God, he got big. What's your name? Seth. Seth, somebody say, what's up, Seth? Now, Seth, you're going to be the eyes and the hands of everyone out there to prove this baseball bat is real. Someone always says it's fake, it's phony. I don't believe it. I wish I had time to pass the bat around and let every one of you check it out, make sure it's real. Seth, take that bat, make sure there's no cracks, tap it on the ground, make sure it hasn't been broken, glued back together. These are actually coal bats. This is right before the stage of where this bat gets painted, and they send it out to the major league. There was an athlete by the name of Bo Jackson who used to strike out. He would get so upset. You guys heard of Bo Jackson? That's back in the day. He would get so upset with that baseball bat, he would slam it down on his leg. Sometimes he would break it. Sometimes he wasn't. We don't get that momentum. Ron's going to place the bat on his leg. Place your right leg out like that. Your other right. I'm just kidding. I'm messing with you. You're all right. Put the bat just like that. One hand there. One hand about right there. A little, okay. I want you to push down. Who wants to see this big man give it a shot this morning? If you break that bat in this church, this morning's place is going to go crazy. And we're going to buy you iron that shirt. Right. I'm kidding. I'm sorry. I want you to push down 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Come on, somebody make some noise. Okay, push down one more time. Right. Move your dip out of the way. Come on. Your dip can's in the way. No. There we go. Come on, guys, make some noise. It hurts your leg, doesn't it? Is that a real baseball bat?
It is.
It is. Okay, let me see. Hand me that phone book, Ron. We speak in schools, elementary schools, middle schools, and high schools. And when we go in these schools, we have to explain what this is. What is that? You guys know what Fortnite is? No, we don't know what Fortnite is. We know what a phone book is, though. You're going to see one of us take this phone book, place it in our bare hands and rip it right down the middle like a single sheet of paper. This is about 1,000 pages. This is a Dallas, Texas phone book. This is kind of how Feet Ministry got started over 42 years ago. I want you to flip through the pages, make sure it's not fake, make sure it's not phony. That's a real phone book. Place your hands on the top of it, on the right, one hand right there, other hand right beside it. That's exactly how I'm going to do attempt to. I always say attempt, no guarantee that I'm going to make it, but what I will do is give 100%. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, come on, rip it right down the middle. Come on, help them out. One more again, come on. Hey, he wrinkled the front page. I'm sorry. He did a good job. Is that a real baseball bat, a real phone book? Let's give him a big round of applause. Thank you, man. Thank you for helping us out. This feat of strength, this is the feat. This is actually, we stopped by Walmart this morning. We bought some frying pans. This is one of them. And I hate this feat. I hate to damage anything used to cook food. Amen. But you're going to see one of us take this solid steel frying pan, place in our bare hands, and attempt to roll it up just like a burrito. In other words, we're going to destroy this frying pan. But don't worry. I kept the receipt. We're not going to take it back. Who wants to see us bend this pan up this morning? And also, if you've ever watched the ESPN strongman competition on TV, they used to take a steel bar like this, big guys like Bill Kazmaier, and they would attempt to bend the bar around into the shape of a U. But some guys were having career-ending injuries. If you watch the YouTube video, one of the athletes places the bar behind his back, and he attempts to roll his shoulders forward, and he pulls his chest muscle, and you can see him go down. It's very dangerous. To be a member of Team Impact, you have to have two things, which we have, definitely. Number one is above-average strength, and number two is below-average intelligence. So that's more on my part. But you're going to see Ron. He's going to start off bending this bar in a unique way. He's not going to place it on top of his head. He's not going to place it behind his neck or behind his leg. He's going to take this steel bar and start off bending it in his teeth. 5 out of 5 dentists recommend, please don't stick metal in your mouth. Don't try to bend this steel bar. You want to pick up a couple of kids to prove it's real? Come on, both of you guys, come on up here. Come on. Come on, guys. Your coffee cup fell, but you're good. Oh, yeah, we got the right size. What's your name? Matthew? Somebody say, what's up, Matthew? What's your name? Andrew. Somebody say, what's up? I love name tags. What's up, Andrew? I want you to face, come here, show them what to do, Ron. This is going to be pretty awesome. We did it at the last service. We had 2 teenage kids at the last service, and they were big. But these guys are just the right height. You're going to see Ron to prove this steel bar is real. Someone always says it's fake, it's phony, I can do it. Somebody say, do not. Try this at home. Or anyone else's house. I'm trying to find a loophole. Big Ron's going to step under the bar. He's going to press it over his head with these 2 young men hanging on his side. 2 very important rules. Number one is do not let go of the bar. Somebody say, do not let go. Yeah. Number two is say, don't kick your feet. Somebody say, don't kick your feet. I've seen Ron kicked in some places before. We had to drop the bar, so we don't want to see him get kicked. We don't want to see anyone let go. If this man lets go, the other guy's going to go shooting over there into that Christmas tree. And we don't want to damage anything on the stage this morning. Are you guys ready? Don't let go of the bar. Don't let go. Come on, make some noise. Here we go. Here we go. Don't let go of the bar. Scream. Don't let go. Just like that. Give him a big round of applause. Good job, Matthew and Andrew. You guys did awesome. As you can see, that steel bar did not bend. That is a real steel bar. What else? That's all we got this morning. You're going to see Ron. He's going to take a towel. He's going to stick this bar in his teeth. We're going to play some music. He doesn't stand a chance by himself. We're going to have some fun in church. There's nowhere in the Bible that says you can't have fun in church. Are you guys ready? All right, come on. Let's play some music. Make some noise. Here we go, come on. Come on, Ron. We're going to give him a countdown. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, scream. He's doing it. He's doing it. Come on, guys, help him out. Watch me hit the gray button. Come on, Ron. That's 1. He's going to keep going. Make some noise. Come on, guys, help him out. He is doing it in church this morning. Unbelievable. Big Ron Werman. Don't give up on him. Come on, guys, help him out. Come on, guys, help him out. He's doing it. He's got to cross it over. Just like that. Put your hands together for Big Ron Waterman. Everybody get cray like me. I'm so cray, it's on my ID. Everybody. All right, let's see if Chip can get 1,000 pages right down the center. Come on, Chip. Oh, he's making this look easy. Come on, Chip. I'm going to jump in the crowd and show the whole front row that I know how to fly. You think we on 10? Boy, you ain't seen nothing. Three. And there you have it. All right, he's going to take that baseball bat, attempt to snap it on top of his leg. Make some noise. Come on, Ron. Here we go. Push. You got to push. Help him out. They like the way I do this. When I crank it like a chainsaw. Yeah, they like the way I do this. When I crank it like a chainsaw. Full throttle, heavy metal, set the bar, next level. Wasteland, getting all janky, so glow. Come on, guys, help them out. Let it go with them elbows back. It's smoking just like this track. Shirt is over from falling sweat. Catch my breath. Chainsaw. Now hear me roar. Come on, guys. Predator from the Sycamore. Let's get Skeletor. Here we go, come on, Ron. Oh, just like that. All right, let's see if Chip can take his frying pan and make it look like a big steel burrito when he's through with it. Come on, Chip. Here we go. Come on, Chip. Roll it up, Chip. Come on, come on. Roll it up. Squeeze, and there you have it. Give it up for Big Chip Minton. We are so grateful to be here, especially this close to Christmas. Usually we stop traveling at the end of November, 1st of December, because church is getting ready for the Christmas program. And if this is your first Sunday here, I just want you to know it's going to be like this from now on. You guys are in for a treat, because we don't do a full Team Impact program in the morning like this. This is what we do. We're going to be doing this Monday, tomorrow at 7 o'clock. We want to encourage you guys to come out Monday. But since you've already seen it, if you come out tomorrow, bring someone. Sometimes people wouldn't darken the door of a church on a Sunday morning because they're afraid of how they look or how they dress or someone's going to judge them. But they'll come watch a bunch of overweight guys who eat too much break a stack of bricks. To be a member of Team Impact's awesome. You got to have two things. Number one, you got to have above average strength, which I definitely have. And number two, you have to have below average intelligence, which I definitely have. Because usually at our nighttime, we will hope to come back to this church. This is kind of a small taste of what you normally see. A lot of times we bring in 600 or 800 pounds of ice. We set it on one side of the stage. You'll see a member of Team Impact, like you saw in the video. He'll take off running as fast as he can. He'll bust through the ice head and shoulders first. We set the stage on fire. Yeah, we set it on break bricks, rip phone books, break pieces of wood. And it's an amazing program. You might say, Chip, why would you drive your head through a stack of concrete? My mom hates when I do that. My wife hates when I do that. I don't always make it. It goes bad sometimes. But why would you drive your head through a stack of concrete? You see, there was a man about 42 years ago. He took a phone book. He was able to hold it in his bare hands and rip it right down the middle like a single sheet of paper. And when he would do that, people would just stand around him and watch. He had these big hamburger helping hands. He had amazing strength. And he would rip that phone book. And people were in awe of him ripping that phone book. And what he found is that he caught their attention. They wouldn't say a word. They would watch him rip that phone book. When he finished ripping the phone book, they were speechless. And that gave him enough time to share what his life was like before Jesus Christ, how he came to know Jesus Christ, and what his life is like now, living for Jesus Christ. That's kind of how Feet Ministry started back in the 70s, and it's still going strong today. We travel. We don't break bricks, rip phone books, you know, do these feats that are really hard on our bodies, especially me. I'm 26 years old now. No, not even a little. I'll be 50 years old in June, and I've been, amen, praise God. I got a couple of stories for you. I shouldn't even be here. I started in Feet Ministry in 2006. I want you guys to do something. 95% of Christians never share their testimony. Once they get saved, they go to church, they get in a comfort zone, and they never step out of that comfort zone. I want you to pray, God, use me as a conduit and a vessel of your love. Use me to reach people. But let me tell you this, be careful what you pray for, because you might be on a plane to Kenya. You might be on a mission trip. You know, when I got saved, June 28, 2003, I'm going to talk about that in just a minute. When I got saved, when I sincerely asked Jesus Christ to come into my life and save me, I was born again. My heart changed. It radically changed. I had a desire to serve people. I'm not talking about doing something good and putting it on Facebook like most people do. Hey, look what I did. You know, I asked someone, they said they were a Christian one time. I said, what makes you a Christian? Well, I put it on my MySpace. No, it doesn't work like that. This is because you changed your religion. They don't even have it anymore, but back, you guys remember MySpace, don't you? Some of you guys that are my age. When it first came out, a lot of kids, where's MySpace? They don't know. But a lot of times people think they can be good. If I'm a good person, I don't hate anybody. I hear a lot of people say that. I do a lot of good things. I remember driving my car down the road years ago before I got saved, and this little boy was standing in the middle of the road. And he was bleeding. He had blood. He was in the middle of nowhere, and it freaked me out. I was 20-something years old at the time, and I jumped out of my car. I said, young man, are you okay? And he's crying. The weirdest thing I've ever seen. He said, ma'am, can you help us? We were in a car wreck. My mom is in the car in the ditch on the side of the road. And I love adrenaline. You guys are going to hear it in just a minute. I love things that make your heart beat. And I said, absolutely. I ran over there. I jumped down in that ditch head first. She was a nurse. She was okay. She just couldn't get out of the car. I jumped in that car and I helped her out, helped her to the top of the hill. And by the time I got to the top of the hill with her, a couple of fire trucks and police officers were just showing up. And I remember getting in my car, and I remember driving home. And here's what I thought. I thought, man, that was cool. That was a lot of fun. I'm glad I helped that lady. But in my mind, I thought, I bet I score some points with God by doing something good. I'm not saying it was bad. I'm not saying God's disappointing me. I'm saying it doesn't work by going out and doing a bunch of good things. A lot of us, you know, on our best day, we will never be perfect. The Bible says we all fall short of the glory of God. For the first 33 years of my life, I thought I could be a good person. I thought I could win trophies, I could get that football jersey, and that would give me purpose and peace in life, but it didn't work. My brother was 17 years old. He used to work at a store called Piggly Wiggly. You guys ever heard of Piggly Wiggly? I used to make fun. I used to have a cool job. I worked at the movie theater. I used to tear tickets. I had a little sock tie and pointy shoes, dressed nice, and movies like Top Gun and Dirty Dance and all these cool movies were out. And I got free access to them. It was the best job to have as a teenager. I was 18 years old, actually a little bit younger. He was 17. He worked at Piggly Wiggly. And I saw his life radically change. He started to dress different. He started to talk different. All of a sudden, he had purpose in his life. His conversation was edifying. He stopped talking the way we used to talk. And he would hang around people different. And he had this joy in his life, and he would go out and share what Jesus Christ has done in his life. That's all he did. He became a youth pastor, went to college and got a degree in theology and got his master's degree. He's a big-time pastor in Macon, Georgia now. And he's a year younger than me. And I remember when his life radically changed. I said, man, what's going on? What did you do? What happened? Well, you know, how come you're not hanging out with the boys anymore? He said, man, Chip, I got some good news and I got some bad news. What's the bad news? I always want to know the bad news first. He said, because of the fall of Adam and Eve, we're all born into sin. We're born sinners. We're born separated from God. We're actually born enemies of God. You can ask my mama, when I was little, you didn't have to teach me how to sin. She'll tell you quick. She'll throw me under the bus. I used to look for stuff I wasn't supposed to do, take stuff that wasn't mine. You know, just I desired to do things I wasn't supposed to do. I was born with that sinful nature. He said, but God sent his one and only son, Jesus Christ, from heaven and earth to live the life that we can't live. That's where he talked about being perfect. That's where he talked about the Bible says we all fall short of the glory of God. And he said, for 33 years, he lived a perfect, sinless life. He was 100% man, Jesus Christ was 100% God. Lived the life that we can't live. Died a death that we deserve. He died a death on a cross, a brutal death in our place. In other words, he died for us. He said, the good news is this, Chip. 3 days later, God raised him from the dead, proving he is who he said he was, making a way for you and I to spend eternity in a real place called heaven. If you think that's good news, put your hands together and say amen. Right? I was 18. He gave me the answer to everything I would ever need in my life. He gave me the purpose. He gave me, all I had to do was receive Christ. He preached the gospel to me. All I had to do was say, I'm in, I believe that. And I looked at my brother, and I turned my back on him, and I turned my back on God. And I said, I'm going to do this thing on my own. You see, I was a bodybuilder. I was winning trophies this tall. But I was still full of fear. I still had no purpose in life. So I thought I had to do something else. And I saw the Olympics on TV. I saw Herschel Walker. You guys know Herschel Walker? Back in, you know, some of you guys, you know, 1980, he was on the national champion, Georgia, University of Georgia football team, which they blew it this year. But anyway, he was a big-time champion, you know, Heisman Trophy winner. He was on the U.S. Olympic bobsled team. I didn't know what a bobsled was. I'm from Macon, Georgia. If you threaten one snowflake where I come from, we shut the whole city down. You got it like here. You know, you're snowing. Man, people go to Walmart. They buy all the bread. They buy all the milk. They buy my favorite food. They buy all the Pop-Tarts. This church knows I love Pop-Tarts. They've given me an unlimited supply of Pop-Tarts. Praise God. Hallelujah. But I saw the Olympics on TV, and I thought, how cool would it be to be on the Olympic team? It just so happens I go to the gym. I stayed in the gym as a teenager. I started working out when I was 12. A guy put a piece of paper on the wall that said, tryouts for the U.S. Olympic bobsled team. And I said, I'm in. There was a lot of guys said they were afraid to try because they would fail. In my opinion, there's no such thing as you fail. You figure out a way not to do it, and you go back and you do it again. And I had a raw talent for bobsledding. I ended up doing really well on a physical fitness test. I flew to Lake Placid, New York. I was actually a prison guard at the time. I worked for Central State Prison. And the coach was asking us what we brought to the table. And I love being a prison guard. I was on what they call it a goon squad, a correctional emergency response team. When two inmates were getting a fight, we would run in and break it up. Inmates used to barricade themselves in their cell. We used to run in. We used to beat these inmates down. I mean, extract. We used to extract these inmates. And I love the adrenaline. I love being a prison guard. A correctional officer is actually what you're supposed to say. You're not supposed to say prison guard. But it was fun. And I flew to Lake Placid, New York, and I'm with these NCAA All-American track and field stars. And a guy says, one guy, he's a 400-meter sprint champion. Another guy, he's a decathlete. He's a national champion. Another guy, he's a 200-meter champion. Coach says, Chip, what do you do? What's your background? I said, Coach, I was Georgia State Prison Guard of the Month last month. That's all I had. I was a bodybuilder. I don't have a background. I don't know. But I ended up beating those 60 guys in a race where you push a bobsled on rails. I made the 1994 Olympic team, and it was awesome. I don't know if you guys remember the 1994 winner Olympic team in Lillehammer, Norway. Nancy Kerrigan and Tanya Harding. A big figure skating scandal. I actually met those girls. It was pretty cool. Stayed away from Tanya, but anyway. she was nice to me. I can't say anything bad about her. But I got to compete and race for the U.S. Olympic team in Lillehammer, Norway in two-man bobsled. I mean, they put you on a pedestal, man. They give you that red, white, and blue jacket. You get a gold ring. You get even if you don't win a medal, you get a participation medal, which, you know, it's not a big deal to me, but it was a big deal to be a part of the Olympic team. People said, you're going to fall flat on your face. You're never going to make it. I remember when the Olympics were over, I thought, man, I did this great thing. I'm going to have purpose in my life. When I get home, I'm going to have the same thing my brother has, and I can look my brother in the eye and say, I did this on my own. When the Olympics were over, I flew back to Atlanta, Georgia, went home and went to bed and woke up completely full of fear. It didn't work. I'm talking to my brother. I said, what happened? He said, you need Jesus Christ. I said, I'm going to do something else. I did an interview on TV and said, I wanted to be a professional wrestler. And another wrestler saw this interview. He sent me a letter. You guys have no idea who this is. He's been retired for a long time. He doesn't wrestle anymore. But a professional wrestler by the name of Ric Flair. Oh, you got, he's still relevant. He sends me a letter. And it said, Chip, if you want to be a wrestler, if you're serious, we'll give you a tryout. And I'm thinking, this is what I need. If I can be a wrestler, that's going to give me purpose in life. I went to the power plant. I trained for a year. They signed me to a contract and a developmental deal. And I began to travel all over the country as a professional wrestler. I got a bunch of matches on YouTube. Guys, I wrestled hundreds of matches. I wasn't a top guy. I was in the middle. I won some. I lost some. They were just kind of equal. But some fan put about 10 of my matches on YouTube. They put 8 of them I lost and 2 I won. People always ask me, is wrestling real or is it fake? I heard it's fake. I hear that all the time. And I said, well, the 2 matches I lost are real and the 8 I lost are fake. That's how that works. Did I mess that up? Anyway. I said it backwards. You guys know what I'm talking about. The eight I lost are fake, and the two I want are real. There we go. You guys know what I'm saying. But anyway, at the end of the day, I would fly back home. I go back home. I had a beautiful family, young wife, a daughter, and I still had no purpose in my life. As a matter of fact, I'm going down the road of self-destruction. Didn't even realize I was drinking alcohol. Alcoholism runs in my family. My dad was an alcoholic. I watched him drink my whole young life. So I thought, maybe this is what I'm supposed to do. And I began, that first drink turned me into an instant alcoholic. That first pill turned me into an instant drug addict. I remember that first time I took a narcotic painkiller. And once I took it, and it made me feel different. I thought, maybe this is what I'm looking for. Because I'm searching. I'm searching for my purpose. I'm watching my brother flourish as a Christian. I wanted what he had. But I'm beating myself up in the world. I'm going down a road of self-destruction. And I'm losing everything. I remember what he told me about Jesus Christ. Surely I can do this on my own. I went and made the Olympic team a second time in Nagano, Japan. We missed an Olympic medal by 0.02 seconds. By 0.02 seconds, we missed an Olympic medal. But still, to be a two-time Olympian was an awesome deal. And I began to self-destruct. I came home one day, and my wife said, "Chip, this is not the deal I made." She said, "You got it." She was right. It's not the deal she made. I've lost everything. I was just completely hopeless. All I would do was round the clock, take drugs and drink. And my daughter, she was about this tall at the time. She was about 10 years old. We were best friends. I taught her how to ride a bike, taught her how to tie her shoes, took her to get her ears pierced when she was ready, picked her up from school. We spent all our time together when I was home from the road. And she knew I was under the influence. We think little ones don't know, but she knew. And my little daughter looked at me as I was leaving that day, and I remember she balled up her little fist, and as a tear began to come down her eyes, she said, "Daddy, I hate you." If you ever thought that I was going to straighten my life out, that would have been the time, but it's something I couldn't do on my own. And I went and checked in this cheap hotel room, and I began to just drink and take drugs around the clock. By the way, God restored my relationship with my daughter soon after that. She got married November 10th. It was one of the biggest days of my life. It was awesome to be able to walk my daughter down this aisle. She's 26 years old. She's a school teacher now. She married a fireman. What a big deal. Let's give my daughter a big round of applause. She's done it right. She graduated college with honor. She teaches second grade, and she has been awesome in my life. But at that moment, life was over for me. I checked in this room, and I began to just destruct. And I thought about suicide. I thought about taking my own life. That's where my best thinking had got me. And I got up at 4 o'clock in the morning. I went to the door. I went to put my hand on it. I mean, I don't know if you've ever been in an $18 night hotel room, but it's a nasty place. It's bad. We're staying at the Hampton Inn. It's nice. Real nice. They put us in handicap rooms. We got the bars around the tub and everything. It's a big shower. Anyway, I got up at 4 o'clock in the morning. I walked to the door, and I went to put my hand on that handle. And I remember thinking about, as I thought about suicide, I had it planned out how I was going to do it. I had a life insurance policy. My family would be taken care of. And I thought about my mom. My mom's a little short Christian woman. She's about this tall. My mom told me one time, she said, "Chip, I know your life is not going how you thought it would, but no matter what you do, I have an unconditional love for you." I remember that word, unconditional. I remember what my brother told me about the cross. And I turned around, I went back to the bed, and I started praying. Guys, I started praying. I started talking to God, in other words. I didn't know how to pray. When I was little, the guys that were up here on stage, when I was their age, I heard someone else say a prayer on TV, and I copied that prayer. So I said that every day because I don't want to make God mad. That's not how it works. That night in that hotel room, I began to talk to God. It's like I opened up my heart, took it out, said, "God, please help me. Please give me what my brother said you would." I remember what he told me when I was 18 years old. I remember what he told me about Jesus Christ. And I began to just pray. I began to pray. And I began to have that conscious contact with God. That night, the best way I knew how, I accepted Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. Sometimes people say this, and I felt true purpose in my life for the first time. That fear left. That void got filled with God's love. People say, "Chip, I bet the biggest day of your life has got to be the day you signed that contract to be a wrestler." Or they'll say something like, "I bet the biggest day of your life is the day you became an Olympian." Those were big days, but not anywhere close to the biggest day of my life. The biggest day of my life, why I do what I do now, was on June 28, 2003, in an $18 night hotel room. I accepted Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. If you think that's good news, put your hands together and say amen. Now, I want to ask you something. That's the biggest day of my life. Because of that decision, because of that choice to accept Jesus Christ, I believe he died on the cross for me. I will spend eternity in a real place called heaven when judgment day comes for me. My question is, what about you? What about you? I know we're in church on Sunday morning. A lot of people think all I got to do is go to church. So a lot of people think all I got to do is be a deacon in the church. All I got to do is be a good person. It's about believing Jesus Christ died on the cross and rose again. I'm going to ask you to bow your heads and close your eyes. In just a second, I'm going to count to three. And if you want to be, then I'm going to say a prayer. If you want to be included in that prayer, I want you to raise your hand. By raising your hand, you're saying, "Chip, I want to accept Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. I want to be born again. I want Jesus Christ to be the leader of my life. In other words, if you were to walk out of that door today, this morning, and something were to happen to you, this was the last day of your life, would you go to heaven? The Bible says you go to one of two places. You either go to heaven or you go to hell. Do you know where you're going? If you're 99% sure you think you're going to heaven because you're a good person, you're 100% wrong. Like me, the first 33 years of my life, I tried to find approval and purpose in the world by doing good things, by getting a pat on the back, by people saying, Chip, you're doing a good job. It didn't work until June 28, 2003, when I realized that life is about a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. If you've never done this before in your life, I want to encourage you guys to be involved in this prayer by raising your hand when I count to three. This is for everyone within the sound of my voice, not just for kids. Our program is for everyone. If you want to be included in this prayer, when I count to three, I want you to raise your hand. One, you can do it. Two, raise your hand on three. Praise God. I see some hands going up. Praise God. Anyone else? Okay, you can put your hands down. So that no one feels left out, so that no one feels alone, I want everyone to say this prayer out loud. Everyone say, Dear God, I admit that I'm a sinner in need of a Savior. I've done many things that don't please you. I'm sorry, and I repent. I ask you to come into my life and save me. Jesus, I realize you died on the cross for me and rose again. Thank you, Jesus. Amen.